Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news-ad-free. That's amazon.com/news-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
From the Third Coast International Audio Festival and Chicago Public Radio, I'm Gwen Maxey, and this is ReSound.
Horror and moral terror are your friends.
Yeah, that's what it's all about these days, because so out above the way things are, there's not much to laugh about, is there?
Don't you love me looking like Peter Criss? Answer. Do you love me? No!
I think it's just bloody hard luck, and that's about all I can say about it.
My love, I have a lot of love for you. I feel like killing myself because I can't see you. Why don't you come? Please come and answer. I'll die if you don't.
There's no place like home.
Love you forever.
There's no
pretty colors. I'd be a fool to make you bother.
ReSound is a remix of audio from around the world. Documentaries, narratives, web work, found sound, sound art, sound bites, and interesting work we dig up in all kinds of places.
We can't tell you where, because then, of course, we'd have to kill you.
Today, a look at how people cope in places they don't want to be. First, a story about soldiers making music in Iraq. Then, two tales from North Korea, one of starvation and one of grotesque indulgence. And a teenager on the cusp of leaving juvenile detention for the sixth and last time. Sometimes it's all about just getting through the day. Stay with us. So much has been written about the war in Iraq, but how much has been heard? The sound of war isn't just guns and grenades. It's Guns N' Roses, Eminem, and Tupac. To say nothing of the Baghdad Bee Gees. Australian war artist George Giddos has traveled to Iraq 4 times since 2002, and he's recorded the music that soldiers listen to psych up for battle and to unwind afterwards. In a place of isolation, insecurity, fear, and death, soldiers have turned to singing, rapping, and playing music as a lifeline to survival. In our first story, Giddos teamed up with Kath Dwyer of the Australian Broadcasting Corporation to produce a soundtrack to war.
Bad boys, bad boys, what you gonna do? What you gonna do when we come for you? Bad boys, what you gonna do? Saddam, what you doing when we coming for you?
Let the bodies hit the floor, let the bodies hit the floor, let the bodies hit the...
It's the ultimate rush, because you know you're going into the fight to begin with, and then you got a good song playing in the background, and that gets you real fired up.
One of the songs on here, we listen to Let the Bodies Hit the Floor, which is fitting for what we've been doing, so we've been playing that. It's like our motto out here now.
Here we go, here we go, here we go, now one.
Ever since we crossed the border from Kuwait into Iraq, every little city and village we come across, we've hit enemy contact. Not so much Saddam's military either. It's just anybody that, doesn't want us in their country. I mean, there is a lot of innocent civilians that were killed. And I think that is because the U.S. Army, we came in and we knew it wasn't going to be easy. And they pretty much at first shot anything that moved.
You people go out and they go jogging to release some stress or some pressures, or just to get their minds off things and other people listening to music. In fact, music has a tendency also to pump you up. Before, we used to go out on big missions, like big battalion type missions, passport missions. We used to have our PSYOPs guys that have these loud speakers on top of the trucks. Play some pretty heavy metal music before we go out.
Like what?
Oh yeah, like Linkin Park. Yeah, definitely. Old AC/DC stuff. You name it. And listen to this before you go out, because you know, to a degree, it gets you pumped up. It gets you ready.
Especially when the whole battalion's is. The whole battalion's cool. Hanging out, tanks are lined up, brads.
That's some pretty troops. Powerful stuff.
They start blaring that music. It's just like, yo, let's go get this on.
Let's go do this.
I'm George Giddos, and I've been in Baghdad making a film about music. I wanted to do something about this huge cultural invasion. When I was in Baghdad prior to the Americans coming in, it was all Islamic music, beautiful music, but nothing American. And the first thing you could hear over the tanks was the sound of heavy metal and rap. The absolute anthem of the American Army, apart from Bodies Hit the Floor, the absolute anthem of the American Army was Slayer's Rain of Blood and Angel of Death. Soldiers were playing Angel of Death, Rain of Blood, Let the Bodies Hit the Floor into the battle, and it was putting them in this altered state of consciousness that sort of allowed them to kind of cut themselves off from their conscience. In fact, it got them into an altered state of mind where quite often they say, my God, did I do that? And what am I going to think about myself when I get home? So, yeah, it was unreal for them, and the music induced this kind of unreal state. And a lot of them did things that they weren't happy with later. Infamous, watch out, angel of death. Heavy metal music is used to psych the soldiers up. It's used to torture victims, you know, people who've been captured, they're forced to listen to heavy metal music, and they suffer sleep deprivation and exposure to cold and things like that as a way of getting information. And it was also a way of kind of flushing out the enemy, so to speak. Heavy metal music is actually part of PSYOPs. It's like equipment within the American Army. So there are these vehicles called PSYOP vehicles, which have got very powerful speakers, and often I'd hear a massive sort of heavy metal anthem being blasted into some neighbourhood, and I wondered if the people who came out and shot at them just wanted to get a good night's sleep or whether they were the resistance, but it seemed to work. They kept doing it. Hey, Joshua, are you in there?
Yeah. This is an M1 Abram main battle tank. And this is the loader station in the tank. This is where the main sound system is for the helmets that we use, that we can communicate with the other tanks. And there's just a couple inputs where we can hook the headphones part to a CD player. We hook it right up into the tank, plug in a CD player, press play, and I control all the music for the whole tank right from here. So when you see us cruising down the road in sector, if you ever see a battle tank going by, and you see the loader and the tank commander, and they're bobbing their heads, yeah, we're rolling through sector listening to Tupac.
My niggas look mad. Right. Y'all supposed to be happy on the street. Y'all niggas look like y'all wanted me to stay in jail. Picture me rolling in my 500 Benz. I got no love for these niggas. There's no need to be friends. They got me under surveillance. I swear somebody can tell it. No, there's no being sold. But I ain't the one selling. Don't want to be another number. I got
It's been 11 months of blood, sweat, brothers, and music. Music is all I've had as an outlet. It's all I've had. I feed them lead. Now when release, how will I live? Will God forgive me for all the dirt a nigga did? Feed kids. One life to live is so hard. We've lost a lot of brothers, and it gets tougher every day. The city was under attack yesterday, and we lost some friends and stuff, and we've lost them the whole time. We've been here, and we just deal with one memorial after another, and the only way that I've been able to deal with that is to write music. My dreams are sensing, my hopes are pouring. I'm like a bean if I leave seeing all the dope is
gone. My nerves are wrecked, heart beating in my head swelling. Music's everything to these soldiers because they can't escape one another. There's no free space, and when they put their headphones on, that's their room. To them, music's more important than food. It's more important than ammunition. It's the ammunition that keeps them ready to keep functioning, because particularly now that they've been there so long. I got keys coming from overseas. Cost a nigga 200 G's. I'm a street commando, Nino, for example. This lavish lifestyle is hard to handle, so I got the flaws because I'm more like a boss player.
Measurement for what? This?
So, Janelle, what are you doing?
We're putting a gasket on a water pump for the generator.
Yeah?
I'm a 52 Delta, I'm a generator mechanic.
And you're also a songwriter?
That is correct. Well, to write out here, it's not hard because.
No.
Out here, you have many experiences that pop up at many different times, so it's not difficult. You could be on guard duty, you could be walking around, you could be working. See, out here, you have a lot of time to think, so that's where most of your creativity comes from. It's just your environment. Deep in the battlefield, all covered in mud, blood, sweat, and tears, we die for our country through the years. No hesitation, driving on with no fears, oh no. Mm-hmm. You know that we won't stop. Sacrifice and dedication, they give their lives no hesitation. They give up what people take for granted every day. Go places that makes the ghetto look like estates. When a war pops off, that will soon be their fate. And you know that we do it for one simple reason. 'Cause we're the home of the brave. You can't take that away from me. We fought and died for liberty. And you can't shake us. No one can defeat us. Oh, may God guide us every day. Our sweet home of the brave.
That was nice, man.
Thanks. Everyone's brave out here.
Cuss me when I play Mr. Tuffy. If I had to get a gap, then what would he say? It'd be my turn to play. Hey, I had to get away. Now this is the last part. In the courtroom as the jury emerges, we'll give you a choice. Jail or the service. Can't go to the pen to be another man's hope. So I'll take 4 years and play G.I. Joe. A test of your manhood. Basic training is a mind game. Called by your last name. Consider combat trained. Sent to a duty session. Occupation artillery. Can't have a social life, brother. Field is killing me. I get homesick. Write my mom a letter. I should have went to jail. They would have treated me better. But I finally got promoted. Hit Pip Parade. They thought that would make me proud of being an organized slave. Keep that to yourself was my chief suggestion. Yeah, they got pissed when I asked the question. Officer, you salute. Call him sir to show courtesy. Why should I respect a man that don't respect me? Giving me orders like I was kind of a gopher. We'll make you a driver. That ain't shit for the chauffeur. What am I here for? Can't take this no more. By the righteous attack, now it's time to fight war. On the first flight to Iraq, scared as the next man. Don't know if I'll ever see my family again. I worry about my sons. Miss my mom. War over ran by Saddam. Blew up with a napalm. I'm finally going home. Wrapped up in a body bag. Now go my mama's dog and bought flag with dog tags. He was a good soldier. Job was done well. Chewing checks in the mail. My mom said, go to hell. Family says goodbye and he cries. They buried me. Didn't even get a chance to ask my girl to marry me. I hate to leave my sons, but they'll be okay. Now I'm resting in peace. I finally got away. Woo!
The thing that I love about the rap music, it's urban rhythmic poetry. And all the soldiers who are writing it, they're doing it while they're out in patrol. And they're having these bull ring sessions where they compete. The bull ring seems to happen like a game of cards when not everyone has to be on guard duty, and they can come together and they can turn their backs on the enemy, so to speak, for long enough to have this contest. And that can happen where just the tracks come off a couple of tanks and they're waiting for them to be fixed and they're out in the middle of the desert, or it can happen between patrols where a patrol's been delayed. Usually it's a way of filling life with excitement in the moments between incredible danger in Baghdad.
Coming through this bitch and blowing on straight dime sacks. I can't do that no more because I'm saluting the flag. Coming down, everybody know they carry blue flags in their back pocket. I blast off like a rocket, then everybody know I'm like loose bones out of socket. It ain't no thing, baby, because I'm changing the game. I got your frame, baby. You gon' remember my name. I put it down for the south, and I'm keep my name out your mouth. And if you keep talking that butter, nigga, I'll knock your ass out. Ain't no thing for me to keep on wrecking the mic. I flip tongue like a Cisco die. It ain't no thing, baby, cause I be a damn living legend. I'm coming
tell them just like this. This out here, this for real. Them boys don't even know what it be out here in the field. It's boys getting killed, and this like every day. But I let these boys know our top, them boys don't play. They coming with AKs, we coming with M16s. Our boys know our top, shooting enemies in they spleen. Expert marksmanship, I shoot them straight in they lip. I'm fully equipped, fuck with my battle, rattle in my hip. And I tell them just like this, I don't play with nobody. With Lil E, I come just like Gun Gotti.
Y'all niggas gear with diamond lace chains. You gotta have the schemes to get your hands on your crane. Well, I'm so fresh, to the depth. Pass this mic and give it a rest. But I can still rock it up and give it to my man Reback. Bring it back.
Yeah, loud. Yeah. Gunshots were scaring you in a mass hysteria through the blocks in Baghdad. The M1s carried us, they were shocked when guns rocked. They dropped delirious from the rooftop, pop fought the boom for furious thanks. Yeah. But wait. Yeah. Here we go. I'm still a trace of gun smoke, a town folk, cowpoke, tied to a short rope, a green broke lyricist, soldier at war, and war is where my emphasis is pressed all around me. They asking me these questions as I tell them something about me, yo. It might sound like this, happy go lucky, fun loving, tree hugging, hippie, and Christian in parentheses. Yeah, yeah. Out all night, I fight the good fight, screaming this loud bark, lock John Hart bite. Wait, give me a light, give me a break, I'm out this fight.
Yes, it is a release. It's a release for all of us. You know, you get very few moments to really decompress, you know, and there's very little escape because with so many brothers around, everywhere you turn, you're going to run into one. So find a little spot for yourself where you can let your mind be at ease and deal with the situations that you deal with on a daily. Exactly. If it's 15 minutes, 5 minutes where you can get some rest, it'll do you wonders. You know? It's therapeutic.
When I'm doing music, I'm in a whole new world. It's not like I'm still just Tippins anymore. I become like a whole new person. And music for me is, like I said, it's a way that I speak to the world. It's a way that I express what I feel. You know, somebody else may not listen to me any other. I may talk to you now and you not even want to hear what I got to say, but through music, you listen. And I feel like through music, I can get the world to listen to what I have to say.
One, two, three. Yeah, international, underground, thunderbounds, and I stop the ground. Like a million elephants, a silverback, orangutans, you can't stop a train. Who wants up, don't come unprepared, I'll be there. But when I leave there, better be a household name. Brother man telling us it ain't gonna rain. So now we sitting in a drop top soaking wet. In a silk suit, trying not to sweat. Hit summer sauce without the net. But this will be the year that we won't forget. 1999.
This was a lot more real and true than just a video game. A lot of people thought it was just me. Oh yeah, look through the sight and shoot. No, a lot of this is face to face, and especially riding by after some of the bombs have went off and seeing all the people on the side of the road bloated up and just all the smells around you. I mean, from the sewage pipes busted and the people lying dead, rotted. And it's a lot more gruesome than you think. It ain't like World War II gruesome, but it's gruesome, more gruesome than I wanted to see. It's just rough. A lot of people saying they'd shoot ground troops through the with the coax or something, and then they'd watch and they'd still be alive. They'd have an eyeball hanging out here, stomach blown out, and they'd still be walking around for hours on end, just not in shock, I guess, just not dying. I've heard a lot of people say they're probably gonna get nightmares from that, because it's just, usually you see in the movie, bang, you're dead, you fall down. Here, bang, you should be dead, your guts are hanging out, but you're still walking around, still talking, and sitting in a swing set, swinging like you're half crazy. They don't die.
We all been in the Army for a while, 9, 6, 7 years. I've been in the Army 15 years. From Desert Storm to Somalia to Macedonia, I've been there.
but this is a whole totally different picture here, being pushed into the city urban warfare in a tank, you know. You don't know who's friendly,
are we, cause we're not,
who's
we're,
enemy.
We're not militia. We're not like the Iraqi army. They'll kill anybody. We have to pick and choose who we kill.
We can't just shoot real anybody, you know.
We fire a couple warning shots at a vehicle coming at us. If the car turns around, then it was probably just civilians coming, trying to go down that road. And what we do is we just fire a couple warning shots, tell them to get away. If they go away, you know, we let them go. If they keep coming, we fire maybe some more warning shots. If they keep coming then we determine that if they're going to try and come at us when we're firing at them, then they're hostile towards us, so we take them out.
One guy got so close till it was just to the point. It was ridiculous. He floored it, sure enough, suicide bomber. He got so close, luckily the gunner just squeezed the triggers off just in time and stopped that car. Sure enough, suicide bomber. And it was just wild and crazy. It's crazy. I mean, it was crazy. A lot of times, you know, we used our second guess, and sure enough, we didn't fire. Fired a couple warning shots, car stopped, turned around, had kids in it. So we use our second guesses a lot.
The first RPG round we heard coming in, you could hear the whistle before it impacts. After the first one hit, the truck filled with smoke. And yeah, after the first one, it felt like a dream, you know, until we had that shell shock after we got our senses, you know, couldn't believe we were alive, and then we heard the second whistle coming in for the second RPG, and, you know, I just thought it was done. I thought that was, you know, our luck ran out with the first one. I thought the second one was going to take us. Yeah, I've had some problems with the night that we got hit. You know, you try to go to sleep, and there's always, every night you go to sleep, there's gunfire. So sometimes you wake up a little startled, you know. You know, it kind of takes you back to the night that our truck got hit. Until you get your senses back and realize what's going on.
In the event of something happening to me, there is something I would like you all to see. It just a photograph of someone that I knew. Have you seen my wife, Mr. Jones?
In a war zone like Baghdad, there are kind of urban myths, and I'd heard about the Baghdad BGs, and I wonder whether they're just phantoms, and I couldn't find them. Finally, one day someone said, "I've connected you, here's a mobile phone, I've got Ahmed on the phone," and suddenly I had the voice of Barry Gibb. "You can't be Iraqi." He said, "Yes, I am." I said, "But you speak perfect English." Listening to my Australian English, he said, "Yes, better than you." And then when he turned up, here's this guy who's never been out of Baghdad, but he's learnt music from the Bee Gees and he's learnt to speak English from the Bee Gees. And when you hear him, you think it was the Bee Gees singing.
Do you know what it's like on the outside? Don't go talking too loud, you'll cause a landslide, Mr. Jones. I learned music from the Bee Gees, I learned the English language from the Bee Gees. They told me everything I know so far.
Can you tell me the story you told me last night about your time in Abu Ghraib?
First of all, I've spent one complete year, I don't know where in Baghdad, but it was in the intelligence services, the ex-intelligence services for Saddam's regime. And I've been tortured a lot, I've been hurt a lot, and I still have some marks on my body and my face. And after that, I've been transferred to Abu Ghraib political prison. I've been released under the pressure of President Bush, exactly, to Saddam to release the political prisoners in Iraq.
Tell me about the cigarette.
Oh, the cigarette is still, I have a mark here. I've been tied up from bag and I was laid down on the ground. And one of the officers at the intelligence service, he took off his cigars and put it here and scratched it with his shoes. And I still remember the smell of the flesh burning meat. It was a very, very hard and bad time.
And you've got marks on your back and other parts?
I still have some places on my body, still on my back and my knees and some place else.
You made me really sad last night. I told you how I'd love to go home after being in a place like this where there's war.
Yeah.
Can you tell me what you said?
I said I'd like to go home too. You know, sometimes when you feel that danger all around and there's no escape, you just
want to go someplace, you know, just like an island where there's nobody around, only water, and no sound of gunshots or bombing around, and just have a time of peace. That's what we're missing in our lives. We are missing so badly. We need peace. Ya habibi, ya watani, fika yanbud al-qalb bil-haya, fadani atiya ruhi.
I'd say the smells are the worst thing. Just from you, your funk where you ain't taking a bath in long enough, and your food, and I don't know, everything's just nasty. I'm ready to get home, get a shower, and eat a nice meal at the dinner table.
The Gospel Choir was formed by Major Brown. Major Brown is big and black, and finding him was like finding the Blues Brothers in Baghdad. It was just absolutely surreal. I took him and his choir after having a service in their little gospel church up onto a rooftop, and suddenly snipers started shooting at us. The whole city burst open into warfare, but they were so happy, they were so high, they just wanted to go on singing.
Soldiers as people need to get spiritual uplifting, and that's what we do here, just in our own little footprint. We just want to bring a smile, hope, gladness, you know, to some situation, because there are many situations that are out here that will cast a shadow on one's day. But when they see you and they see the smile that you have on your face, and they hear what you represent through music and song, then their spirits get uplifted. Am I right about it? Amen. Then they start to feel better about themselves and this mission. And then there is no way, no way on this earth that the enemy will be able to get victory. Let every heart say amen.
Amen.
Amen again.
Amen.
And amen.
Amen.
All right, give the Lord a hand clap of praise.
I read some lyrics the other day, and I said that I sold my soul to thee, and that hell has started for me. What I meant by that is by basically joining the army, and I feel I sold my soul to the army. It's basically I'm under their, they're in charge of me until I get out, and hell has started for me was the day we got out here to Iraq. I mean, I don't want to be out here any longer than I have to in this place. To me, war is heavy metal. About, you know, mutilated limbs and broken parts and stuff in the gore metal, and then after listening to it for so many years and to see it in real life, it was a shocking experience. It was something I don't want to see again.
What happened?
There was a convoy that was hit by a overthrown IED, and the driver was killed. The sergeant was killed, and we were the first on scene, so we had to evac people out. So we had to pull them out of the vehicle. And it kind of fell apart when we pulled them out. So it wasn't a very pretty sight.
Music all came about for me when I was in battalion headquarters. I begged for a drum set. I said, we could have a band and it would be great. People would love it. And they said, we don't want to spend money on that. Until they heard us play one day. They heard Trent and I play by the pool, and they just loved it. So the next day we had a drum set. 2 days later we were playing a concert at the Pink Flamingo. And, you know, unfortunately a couple months later, I'm sorry, we were playing a memorial service for one of our friends.
My name's Trent. This is my friend Josh.
call ourselves Private Joe.
We came up with this song after a few of our comrades had died, and about the other soldiers in the unit that we've lost. And it's a really deep song. The lyrics are pretty moving, and I love playing it.
Your faces seem to stay. The names are all replaced. This memory hurts. I heard without you, you're gone. Without you, running to linger. A place I cannot finger. This memory hurts. You're gone. Without you. You're gone. Without you.
Part of your obligation to fulfill. When they see you on the streets, face to face, that you're for real. In competition, ain't no conversation. If you feel you're in violation, any hesitation to get you killed. If you feel it, kill it. You conceal it, reveal it. Being reasonable, the league is full of bullets. Pull it, squeeze it till it's empty. Tempt me, push me, it's so easy. I need a good reason to give this trigger a good squeeze.
Well, I came here for weapons of mass destruction, thinking that we were gonna fight for a year. And I'm leaving with, you know, 100% more experience than I came here. I know all kinds of cultured people. I've written music from the bottom of my heart, music that I never ever thought I would have been able to tackle or even come close to have experience to be inspired to write such things, especially the memorial services for the people that we care about. I would say I've developed, you know, mentally, physically, 100% more than I was before I came here. I wouldn't give it up for the world, but I'm ready to go home. Let's go home now.
Instead of you murdering, you can hurt him and come back. Again, he kicked dirt in a mist, pouring salt in the wound. The soul gets sued. You can smell the loss, you've seen the supports in the room. Everybody halts and stops, calls the cops. All you see is if it's coming out the
whole ride for what I believe in. I'm gonna ride for all the boys that ride for me. I'm gonna ride for what I believe in. I'm gonna ride for all the boys that ride for me.
Retribution is a bitch and a pain at all costs. Never forget the names of the comrades' lives lost. Just counting it off. And I'm counting it off. Sergeant Hazlett, rest in peace. Sergeant Hazlett, rest in peace. Sergeant Hazlett, rest in peace. Sergeant Woodluff.
Rest in peace.
Sergeant Woodluff.
Rest in peace.
Yeah, Sergeant Woodluff.
Rest in peace.
Talk to me now, Hurgot. Private, first class Hurgot. Rest in peace. Come on with me now.
Rest in peace, baby.
Talk to me, Sergeant Serrano.
Rest in peace, baby.
Specialist Larson.
Rest in peace.
Sergeant Parsons, rest in peace. Sergeant Parsons, rest in peace.
Yeah. Soundtrack to War was produced by Kath Dwyer and engineered by Mark Don, from recordings by war artist George Giddos for the Australian Broadcasting Corporation's Street Stories. Giddos made Soundtrack to War into a documentary film that aired on VH1. Some of the footage in the film was also used in Michael Moore's Fahrenheit 9/11, and Giddos is now working on a sequel to his film, which follows the soldiers after they've left Iraq and come home.
Just to get by. Ask them why some people gotta live in a trailer. Cause like a sailor, I paint a picture with a pen like Norman Mailer. Me and Wella raised three daughters all by herself with no help. I think about the struggle and I find the strength of myself. These words melt in my mouth, they hot like the jail cell in the South before my nigga core bailed me out.
There's no other place where you can hear unique and unusual sound portraits like this from all over the world. Unless, of course, you can be all over all the time. So if a piece like this affects you, let us know. You can email us with comments and questions at resound@thirdcoastfestival.org. Our next story is really two stories, both absolutely true. And they contrast not only in content, but in form. One is about power and authority, and it's told with a flourish that is right out of central casting. The other is about deprivation and disadvantage, and it's told in a much quieter way, as though it wants to take up less space in the room. The first deals with an Italian chef who was asked to travel to North Korea to display his pizza-making skills with only the best ingredients and the most expensive tools. The other is about a student with nothing, witnessing the North Korean famine of the late 1990s. BBC producer Hugh Levinson interweaves the two in I Made Pizza for Kim Jong-il.
Una sera di luglio ci intrattenemmo più del dovuto alla scuola pizzaioli. Una delle ultime pizze d'estate era una pizza orientale con filetto di petto d'oca affumicato.
One evening in July, we were working late at the Pizza Institute in northern Italy. One of the last pizzas we tested was an oriental-style pizza topped with a fillet of smoked goose, shrimp, bamboo shoots and bean sprouts.
Quella notte i germogli di soia davano segno di voler germogliare parecchio.
That night in bed I couldn't sleep. I had the distinct sensation the bean sprouts had begun growing in my intestinal tract. My mobile phone rang. The voice on the other end asked if I'd be available to give a training course in a distant land. The caller was a high-ranking cook in one of northern Italy's swankiest hotels. A chef with a capital C. He'd been approached by some foreign diplomats who were organizing culinary demonstrations of Italian regional cooking. They were particularly interested in pizza. At first, he refused to reveal just where this country was. Finally, he provided a hint. It's a communist country in the Far East. Vietnam, I asked. North Korea, he shot back.
'71년에 함경남도에서 태어났다. 누구나 그렇겠지만 어린 시절은 나의 가장 행복한 시절이었다. 그러나 행복한 내 어린 날마저도 My name is Kang Hyuk. I was born in 1971 in South Hamgyong Province, North Korea. I was very happy in my early boyhood. But even this happiness of my childhood days has been buried by the memory of hunger. 죽음의 악몽에 놀라 캄캄한 밤중에 혼자 깨어난다. 식은땀에 온몸이 흠뻑 젖어있다. 내가 지금까지 걸어온 길을 되돌아보아도
Sometimes I wake during the dark night from a deadly nightmare soaked through with cold sweat. There was and is and will be nothing but death and fear all around me in the past and in the future.
조선의 10년왕이 심했다. 감자라도 배급되던 어린 시절과는 사정이 또 달랐다.
위대한 용도자 김정일 동지께 수리아랍공화국 대통령이 답전을 보내왔습니다.
I entered Susan College, Sinpo, in September 1993.
평양.
More and more, people didn't come to work because they didn't have food, and many people struggled in the marsh of hunger. Sometimes, the professors missed the lectures because of the food shortage. The number of students who suffered from malnutrition and who quit school was growing.
15 days later, the chef and I were on our way to Pyongyang. We'd been given our pay in full and in advance in cash. They drove us to the other side of town, to a big medical clinic. Apart from the staff, the place looked to be totally deserted. It was equipped with every type of the most modern-looking apparatus. Mr. Ohm explained that we would have to undergo a series of tests to make sure there wouldn't be any problems. They gave us a complete checkup. X-rays, electrocardiogram, brain scan, magnetic resonance imaging, urine sample. They also managed, tactfully but insistently, to extract a sizable sample of blood. Here was proof that we were completely in their power, and they could do with us as they pleased. One morning, they took us to visit what they referred to as the exhibition. La 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 la. Some 10 oversized pavilions crammed to the rafters with the products of North Korea's presumed industrial might. What I particularly liked were the little star-shaped markers on the floor indicating the exact point where the leader had stood on a certain occasion and pronounced some memorable phrase to the workers. Ma quando capirà, chissà, ma quando capirà. I couldn't help blurting out that all they needed here were little stars commemorating the precise spot where the leader had relieved himself. Although my remark had been issued in Italian, the mirth it stirred meant that it had been translated for Mr. Om, whose estimate of me, if this was at all possible, plummeted to new depths. Così rimango a sognare,
e non le parlo d'amore. 1999년도부터는 사정이 달랐다. 닦은 강냉이 남아 가지고 오는 박생.
Things got worse from 1996. In the dormitory, we ate soup made of arrowroot and corn flour. You have to drink this soup at a gulp because it's too disgusting to eat. We couldn't concentrate on the lectures. There was only one idea in our head. Is there anything I can eat? Where can I get something to eat? It was pointless thinking about food, but we couldn't help it. In 1997, we ran out of food, and the college ordered us to dig arrowroot for food. I left college and started on a wandering journey. This gave me the chance to learn more about the real state of affairs across the country.
Un mattino alle 6 giunse una telefonata che ci buttò giù dal letto. One morning at 6 o'clock, we were awakened by the telephone.
Era Mr. Om.
It was Mr. Om.
Colazione fra un'ora.
Breakfast in 1 hour.
Preparare subito.
Get your bags ready, but don't take too much. We'll only be gone for a few days. A place at the seaside. It was to be the last we would see of Pyongyang before our departure. We traveled in darkened limousines for hours before finally arriving at a compound. It was surrounded by an immense park, studded with lakes and luxuriant vegetation. Then we came to a bridge with a gate on it and sentries. At the end of a second driveway, there was another gate patrolled by armed soldiers. Then a third gate, even more carefully guarded by soldiers, who this time were bearing really heavy-duty arms. It was at this point that we were finally allowed to enter the enchanted village, which reminded me of a Club Med-style resort on the Adriatic. Clusters of small houses tucked away in a pleasant grove of pine trees. Driving down the boardwalk, every 40 meters or so, behind bundles of barbed wire, we passed batteries of anti-aircraft guns with quadruple cannons manned by 4 men and an officer, all of whom looked as if they were made out of wax. Finally, we passed what was to be our last gate. This time, just a metal wire fence and only one guard. We had reached our destination.
Stations were all the same. No one knew when the train would arrive. The station was crowded with people everywhere. In front of food stalls at the station, there were several beggars. They kept their eyes on the food and were always ready to snatch it. Beside them, little boys and girls were dribbling and sucking at their fingers. I paid 21 for a bowl of boiled rice and a cake of bean curd. I was just starting to eat when I felt something strange. I looked around and found a girl standing behind me. I looked at her carefully. Sunken eyes without focus, chapped lips, sunken cheeks. I felt pity for her. I bought another bowl of boiled rice and bean curd for her. Without saying a word of thanks, she began to eat greedily. My hunger was gone. I gave my portion to her, ignoring the food vendors who looked at me as if I was mad. She ate all of the food in a moment. I could not believe how fast she ate. The dignity of a human being did not exist. What dignity can exist under starvation? It seemed as if she had eaten nothing for a long time. After a while, she said thanks in a low voice, as if her mind had come back after an absence.
In my kitchen, I had three pupils. Mr. Yi, a specialist in pastry and international baking, was fat, somewhat taciturn, but very likable. Mr. Chang, a little older but with the sweet, naive manners of a teenager, spoke a very good English, but his pronunciation was at first almost unintelligible. Finally, a Mr. Kim showed up, a younger fellow with a shifty demeanor. My class immediately wanted to get down to business and asked me to make a pizza right away. I told them this was impossible because my dough had to sit for at least 24 hours. Their answer was that a professional of my standing should be able to pull off any feat asked of him. I was given 4 hours. Fortunately, I had brought with me a natural leaven, especially for unforeseen circumstances, and I was able to carry out my preparations. The dough turned out perfectly. But then maybe I was just lucky. While I worked, my pupils, pen and notebook in hand, took down every detail. The rest of the staff, a dozen people or so, gathered round to watch the proceedings in an absorbed silence. At one point, Mr. Yi even asked to count the olives I used and to measure the distance between them. I don't know if he was just pulling my leg, but he looked totally serious.
하루는 밤에 역으로 갔다. 새벽 2시쯤 되었을까? One night, we went to the station. It was around 2 a.m. I put on shabby clothes and took a torch. The train had arrived 20 minutes before. It had 12 freight cars carrying corn with 5 armed security officers keeping watch to protect them. It looked impossible to steal corn under the circumstances. Then I saw something that made me doubt my own eyes. Hundreds of thieves attacked the corn cars in a moment. I don't know where they came from. They crawled under the cars and broke open the floors with their tools. They caught the corn that was flowing downwards in their bags. There were girls, women, and even old people among the thieves. They looked resolute, as if they were fighting on a battlefield. They risked their lives to steal corn, because otherwise they'd starve to death.
그러니 모든 것을 물어준 자의 진지함이 어려 있었다.
On one occasion, after looking over a brochure I had brought with me, Mr. Pack got the sudden bright idea to order a prefabricated kiln from Italy. He chose the most expensive model available and asked me to telephone and order it right away. Every now and then, a kind of courier would show up from some corner of the world. I saw him twice unloading 2 enormous boxes containing an assortment of 20 very costly French cheeses and 1 box of prized French wines. That evening, dinner, a feast worthy of Petronius's Satyricon, was served with an excellent burgundy and delicacies from around the world. As an Italian, I could not refrain from objecting. And 3 days later, fresh from Italy, there came a shipment of Barolo.
멀쩡한 사람도 미치게 하는 나라. We walked along the road. 얼마나 험악하기. Morning was already coming. 멀쩡한 사람이 미칠 수가 있겠는가. On the way, I saw a number of black things moving far away from us. They were people. Black-faced beggars roasting corn kernels that they had probably stolen the night before. There were more than 200 of them. They looked like crows. There was thick soot and smoke from burning tires. Coughing and groaning sounds came from here and there. The smell caught my throat. They called this place the House of Crows.
Mr. Om told me to get ready because the next day we would be cooking at the seaside on a boat. When I expressed my doubts about this, he cut me short with his usual smile and urged me not to worry. The next morning, a cabin cruiser picked us up like a private water taxi. We sped along for about half an hour to the languid notes of Korean music past the islands and islets in front of the base. At last, we came to a big ship which lay anchored at sea. Tied to the side of the ship was a pontoon raft upon which I beheld a most miraculous sight. In truth, I could hardly believe my eyes. They had brought out my entire pizzeria and all its accessories in one piece. All that was left for me to do was to start cooking. The air suddenly came alive with a stir. I had just finished preparing my pizzas when I noticed that everybody in the kitchen seemed to be caught up in an inexplicable flurry of agitation. On the other side of the darkened window of the kitchen, crossing the gangway which led from the cruiser to a luxurious suite overhead, was the man in the murals. L'uomo dei murali. The leader hero was immediately recognizable by the distinctive cut of his hair, a style of his own, unique not only in Korea, but in the rest of the world. I am not in the position to say whether it really was him, but my chef colleague, who had no reason to fib, was, for the space of several minutes, utterly speechless. He came into the salon, looking quite beside himself. After listening to the description of the vision he had been privileged to witness, I tried to calm him down and offered him a Korean beer. He said he felt as if he had seen God.
North Korea drives the sane to madness. 멀쩡한 사람도 미치게 하는 나라. Those who have not experienced the actual state of affairs in North Korea may not believe this.
Lo invidio ancora molto per questo.
How can they understand it?
And I still envy him this experience.
But it is true.
I Made Pizza for Kim Jong-il, produced by Hugh Levinson for BBC Radio 3 in 2004. If you're interested in hearing more of Hugh's work, he produced a Third Coast Festival short doc in 2004, and you can hear it at our website at thirdcoastfestival.org.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
You're listening to Resound. I'm Gwen Maxey. Our last story today is about an 18-year-old named Mark, who's just 2 months shy of aging out of the Long Creek Youth Development Center in Maine, otherwise referred to as the juvenile detention system. As he and his family stare at the future, Blunt Youth Radio producer Carrie Seed at WMPG in Portland recorded some of their thoughts.
Hi, my name is Mark. I'm 18 years old and I'm currently incarcerated at Long Creek Youth Development Center. This is the sixth time I've been to Long Creek. Three of them being 6 more months stay. I won't be released until the end of my sentence date at age 19. My criminal lifestyle started roughly 8 years ago when I started using drugs and alcohol.
You know, like the cops would come to the doors or they'd ride by the house. And I always wonder where my son was, if they were looking for him, if he was in trouble. I would call his cell phone. Sometimes he'd answer, sometimes he wouldn't.
I'd stay out late in the morning smoking crack, you know, doing heroin, doing all the drugs I wanted to do, drinking and driving, you know. I didn't care if it hurt me or my family. Whoever else was in the path was going down with me. I was selling drugs, stealing, hurting people. I thank God that I never killed anyone. I remember being handcuffed in the back of a cruiser on the way to Long Creek. I was so scared. When I walked in and those doors closed behind me, I wasn't a tough guy no more.
You come in here, your world stops. You know, the letters stop coming. Your world totally stops. But the world outside you keeps going.
My son has missed his birthdays.
Missed birthdays.
Christmases.
Christmas.
Few Mother's Days. Thanksgiving. All the family times that everybody gets together is always an empty seat. Waiting for Mark to come back home.
You know, I've missed it all.
And you walk through the house and you look in his room and everything's there but him.
They sent me to Mercy Detox. This time I was dope sick, going through opiate withdrawals, in which I laid in bed with cramps, the sweats, just begging God to take my life. He didn't listen. I started doing intense work on my addiction, which brought up hopelessness, anger, and hurt from past traumas. I tried to commit suicide. I tied a sheet and pillowcase together, put it over my shelf, twisted it so it wouldn't come off, put my head in the sheet, then asking Jesus to forgive me of my sins. I threw my feet from under me. Coincidentally, my friend saw me and pulled me down right before I lost consciousness.
Nobody can take it anymore. You know, when the phone rings, is it the sheriff's department? Is it the police department? Are you hurt? Did you get in an accident? Did you do something? You can't live like that anymore. You need to change for yourself.
Sometimes it feels as if there's no hope, no possible way I can change.
I've done this 6 times. About to age out in 74 more days. and I haven't really made any critical changes that are going to change my life for good.
It gets tired of spending time locked up, being away from my family and outside world. Sometimes change doesn't seem possible. Sometimes I feel trapped in a life as a criminal.
My Criminal Life, produced by Mark Cassette and Carrie Seed for Blunt Youth Radio out of WMPG in Portland, Maine.
Resound is a production of Chicago Public Radio and the Third Coast International Audio Festival. The program is hosted by Gwen Maxey, produced by Delaney Hall, and curated by Johanna Zorn and Julie Shapiro of the Third Coast Festival. You can hear today's program at thirdcoastfestival.org, where you can also hear hundreds of outstanding documentaries from around the world and subscribe to our podcast. Lead support for the Third Coast Festival is provided by the Richard H. Driehaus Foundation, with additional funding from the National Endowment for the Arts, American Airlines, and Chicago's Navy Pier. Music for Resound is provided by Reckless Records in Chicago. Resound returns next week with more radio that you can't hear anywhere else unless you live everywhere else.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.